I would believe everyone wants to be loved. You notice that? Every single person, without exception, wants to be loved. We're told that children want to be loved. I've met adults that had some serious attitude problems. And they claim, at least they claim, it's because their parents didn't love them. Even though the fact that it was probably not that their parents didn't love them, it was they had a wrong idea of what love is. And I've met people like that. And I had to clear up some of the confusion. I met a young lady, well, relative of mine, that said that she thought her parents didn't love her. That's why they didn't want the, quote, boyfriend that she had. I mean, because if they loved her, then they would have approved of that character that she looked for. Put it that way, right? Now that she's gotten through a divorce, she understands now why her parents didn't approve of this guy, all right? They saw right through this guy what she could not see because of what she claimed to be love. And we heard the phrase all the time, love is blind. You've heard that kind of stuff? Love is blind. But this morning, I will introduce you a love that is not blind. Can you imagine? Instead of being blind, that love opens eyes. You see? It is that love is the result of that love is why you and I are here today. Instead of being like in bars, like I mentioned earlier, where people are out there in bars and doing all sorts of things, drugs, illicit drugs, being addicted to all kinds of things, it is the love of God, you see? And we're going to go into detail in that a little bit. So everybody wants to be loved. But it's not everyone knows what love is, all right? Now, you have to understand that the world has their concept or own understanding of what love is. And their understanding is always wrong, all right? Do you realize you could not, I don't think you could really watch a movie out of Hollywood or wherever that is demonstrating love that would even be the love of God, all right? Because that's foreign to man, the love. We're talking about a love that is not based upon human emotions. You understand that? It's a love that is a decision that has made a choice that has been made knowing certain things about the one whom he loved. All right? You understand that? Do you realize that God loved us? He loved the world. Yet the Bible tells us that the world hates God. How can you explain someone loving someone knowing very well the one you love hates you? They are not going to reciprocate that love. Most human emotions, love is based upon human emotions. Now, in Scripture, we find the agape love, which is what we're going to talk about. That is the main crutch of the message, agape. We're not going to go too much into the phileo, because that's a different topic altogether, all right? You have the eros love, which is not in Bible. That is what you see on TV for the most part about love. And it is so common that even people think unless they go into eros, there is no such thing as love. And they make bad decisions based upon eros-type love. You understand that? And that's why you understand why people, when they claim they go in love, the first thing they want to go into is immorality. Because their concept of love is based upon eros love. You see? I'm glad the Word of God says that, you know, to guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And people make the mistakes of thinking that people act certain ways because of certain things that took place in their life. Wrong. None of us act based upon what goes on in our life. We behave based upon what is in our heart. What is in our heart is going to come out. That's why you can have three or four children come from the same home, the same environment, but yet you have different results. It is not necessarily the home. It's not the environment, but it is the heart. Now, the world will pay attention to environment. That's what evolution teaches. You put something in the right environment, it changes from a monkey to a human being. You seen that? And they claim it will take millions of years. You put whatever it is in the correct environment, and it will turn out to be what the environment says, right? You had some type of germ was in the sea. It came on land. It realized it needed feet to walk. And somehow over millions of years, it started producing feet. It started bumping into things. And somehow over millions of years, eyes started coming out. You see? That's why you took monkeys in the tree with a tail. And suddenly he wanted to walk upright and walk on the ground. Then he lost the tail because he was walking. He didn't need the tail anymore. And now you have human beings. That is all based upon a belief system that is anti-God. All right? Now, I believe a lot of times those things have crept into our own thinking. And so we often try to put emphasis on the environment is what caused. How many times you've heard people say, it is such and such will cause, for example, if they are not happy, then they might commit adultery. How many times you've heard that? And so people go around, and I'm talking Christian, trying to make their spouse happy so that they will not commit adultery. And I ask the question, how many people have you ever known that their spouse committed adultery and they were able to stop them? No one has given me an answer to that yet, because it doesn't exist. You cannot stop them. The word of God says it's out of the heart, right? Come these things. They can be happy and still do it. As long as it's in their heart. What you are seeing is an outward of what was in that person. You see? And that is why it's so important that we pay attention to that heart, because we are going to go into that love of God. And one of the things we'll find out real quickly is the love of God was shed where? In our hearts. It is not external, but it is within. And if it is within, then that needs to come out. You see? And so God is the God of love. I often said, why do people want to look for love in some other source except God? Do you realize that? He is the source of love. He is the source of life. Now look at, for example, we saw the word for God so love, right? God love. He never said in an audible voice to the world that he loves them. Do you realize that? That's not the way he demonstrated that love. He never put their hands, his arms around them and tells them, I love you. None of that. The word of God tells us how he did that. He gave. I've often said, man, if we understand giving, if I want to understand correct giving, then I need to go back to what? The source of giving, and that is God, right? Can I give out of necessity? Yes. Can I give out of obligation? Yes. Can I give because Ten Commandments say to give the tithe? Yes. But I can do all of those things and yet don't have love, didn't give out of love. You understand the difference? That is why I think even when we're going to give, we need to look at the giver. Then we will understand when we give, where that should come from. I mean, this, you talk about a two message that can come out just out of that verse right there. For God so loved the world. Now, I've forgotten what time I started. I'm just looking at it, and it's completely out of my mind. And so the world, he does not give as the world is. His love is not as the world loves, which is conditionally. You've heard many times someone, I've heard people who are married and divorced said, I used to love him. I don't love him anymore. I'm talking Christians. They don't love their spouse anymore. What they are referring to? They certainly are not referring to the love of God. All right? We have to understand that. Is that the love that God shed in their hearts? No. What they are referring to is more of an emotional love, all right? And that emotion, every one of us, our emotions is going to change. We can love somebody today and hate them tomorrow, all because they did us some wrong. That's all it takes. It's some type of wrong, and we don't love them anymore. And therefore, we don't give them anymore. We do not even care about them anymore. And you see, those attitudes have to be changed. And it can only change by knowing and understanding the word of God. I remember one time, very clearly, a lady told me she don't love that husband. I don't know who the husband is. All I know is somebody gave her my phone number to call me to find out about divorce and remarriage. And I mean, she said she don't love that guy anymore. And from the time she told me that, because she told me how evil that man was and is, I said, well, you know, I don't know your husband. I don't know him. I don't know nothing about him. I don't know his face. I don't know nothing. Neither you. I don't even know the lady. And I used the word reconcile, and that really set her off. She said she couldn't reconcile with that man. I don't know that man. You just don't know how that man. I said, that man could very well be evil like you're describing him. But I asked one simple question, because when she told me she didn't love anymore, that I knew something was wrong with her concept, her understanding of love. You understand that? So I asked one simple question for me to, for whatever is inside of her, which I already know, to come out. And I said to her, when did you know that you love that man? And when did you know that that love has ended? Because if you don't love him anymore, you got to know when that thing ended. Because all I know is that love of God doesn't end with circumstances. And that's where I was going to. You see, it doesn't end with circumstances. And she said, well, when we were in love, we used to go out to Pizza Hut and those things. I said, what does going to Pizza Hut have to do with love? She said, oh, and she started quoting what Paul says about charity. Because in the Bible it says love, agape. And I said, do you realize an enemy can invite you to Pizza Hut? If you think going to Pizza Hut is love, you need to rethink what you think of what love is. Because an enemy can have the intent to murder you. Yet they take you to Pizza Hut to deceive you so they can pull out their stunts. You understand the difference? Because there was no love there. It was always hate. But hate can take you to Pizza Hut to give you what you want to hear. You see? I said, you need to understand. And she began to quote what love was biblically. Then she started to want to talk, you see? Because, and I said, you see, you all went around making decisions, important decisions in life, such as who you will marry. You claim you didn't love that guy, and that's common again. She claimed she didn't love that guy the first time. But, and I've heard it from different people. But now she ended up marrying him because, and the one thing that is common among all of them that I've encountered, the guy kept pursuing and pursuing and pursuing. I said, you mean to tell me you're so weak that if you don't like a fella, that all it takes is a pursuing for who knows how long for you to change your mind? Is that what I said? Is that the type of person you are in a marriage, that say you are married and some fella who have no respect for marriage, who dishonors marriage, going to come after you, and if he continues and continues, all of a sudden you're going to leave your spouse and go with somebody? Is that the type of woman you are? You understand that? You got to bring it up straight to them. I said, all because some fella or some woman chased me down the road doesn't mean I have to fall for that. All right? You need to be stronger than that. And normally they don't chase you that much if you make your statement very clear. They got a few that don't, but you got to make it very clear. You see? But that idea that they just kept after me and after me, I said, you know, if I was a single man, I would be concerned about you. Because when you give an answer that like that, the first thing comes to my mind is that the type of person you want to marry? You understand? That all it takes is somebody to just chase them on the job over and over and over again, and then they give in. You see? Because they don't understand what love is, the love that God is. And that love is a love that is demonstrated in giving. You understand that? Agape love is always demonstrated in giving. And that's why we're going to go into a little bit detail about us in here, about having that love one for another. You know, the Word of God uses the agape. And how can the church demonstrate agape one for another? It is that very love that the Bible tells us that the world will know. That you and I are his disciple. It's the love that we have one for another. You know, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, you know the what Christ said? To go do the same thing, right? And he uses the word love, agape, not phileo. Phileo, that brotherly love can change. You know, remember Peter? When Christ asked him, does he love me? He used agape. But Peter used what? Phileo. Interesting, right? God is not interested in us using phileo to him. But he wants that agape. And it makes a big difference. Because that is why some people are in church and a certain circumstance happened to them, then you don't see them anymore. They might have been operating with phileo instead of agape. Because if it's agape, it matters not what God allows in my life, I will still be faithful. But if it's phileo love, it's a world different world. That's why I said, what is in the heart will come out, you see, in the action. And God wants us to have that agape love that is based on that decision that has been made, not based upon circumstance or what it can get from that person. You know, oftentimes when people date, you know, people tell you all sorts of things to do to get this girl or get this guy. You notice that? They tell you all sorts of things. I remember one time I told one, if I have to do all these things you're telling me, it's best I don't go there. Because I can't change that woman's heart. None of these things will change her heart. If I have to operate based upon promising, not going here, not going there, when I cannot promise none of these things because I don't know what tomorrow brings. You see? I don't want somebody that is have a love that is based upon circumstances. Suppose I am in the hospital and I cannot function anymore. I cannot work anymore. You understand the difference? That is the type of people that will leave you. Because their love was based upon what they can get from you, not from what they can do. You see? A lot of people function in the church that way. They come for what the church can do for them, not what they can do for the body of Christ, like their spiritual gifts. You understand? And so as soon as something doesn't go the way they want, or the church let them down, that they didn't give them some recognition, they didn't give them, the pastor didn't visit them in the hospital, all sorts of things, then they leave. You see? Because they are functioning based upon what you can do for them. You see? Not what they can do for the church, which is biblical. Because God has given us what? Spiritual gifts for what? Yes. The edifying of the church. You see? Not for what the church can do for me. And you see, people lack the love of God. And so they base everything on what they can get for themselves. That's why they tell you, I was not happy. You see that's the difference? They were not happy, so they look for somebody else. That right there should tell you something of what is in them. You see? They did not operate with agape. I've often asked people, if you're going to tell me, some of the people, preachers, teachers teach to do this. I said, there's nothing wrong with none of these things in and of themselves. But I said, I don't believe anyone, in particular believer, should have to do anything for their spouse to be faithful. You understand the difference? Because faithfulness is not based upon my action, it's based upon my walk in Christ. You understand the difference? That doesn't mean they go around abusing. You understand? That is not what I'm encouraging people to do. But my faithfulness should not be based upon what my wife can do for me. You understand? Just as my faithfulness in the house of God should not be based upon what the church can do for me. It should be based upon the agape love that's in. All right? And that agape love does not seek its own. All right? What does it do? It is a love that gives. And not just it only gives, but guess what? It gives sacrificially. The love of God. It gives sacrificially. You know, the word of God said that God gave his only begotten son. He did not have two begotten sons and gave one. He only had one begotten son. And God looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. You got murderers in this world. You got rapists. You got all sorts of devious behaviors. But God saw through all of that and saw the very need of mankind. And that his need was that he needed a savior to be brought. And God saw all of those things. Idol worship. He looked beyond every single one of those things and saw our need. You understand that? That love is a sacrificial love. And since he saw that need, then he was able to give sacrificially. Woo! And guess what? And when he gave sacrificially, you know, we often think, well, it cost him something. Do you realize that? Think of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in eternity, never had any separation. For eternity, never did anything that the other three were not in agreement. They were always in agreement. But God's love for the world, he looked at the world, and the Trinity experienced something that it never experienced before because of that love. It saw our need. That Trinity experienced. And Christ on the cross said, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see? Never had the Son of God experienced forsaken before. But because of the love of God for a world that is lost, that hates God, that is all sorts of idolatry, he gave his only begotten son for the benefit of the needed one. You see, that is a sacrificial love. And that's why I said we have to look at love, we have to look at giving from God's perspective. You see, and then we can give. And so God gave, it cost him. The son was forsaken. Do you know for eternity Jesus Christ will have the nail prints in his hand? Wow. We'll have a body like him, but we are not going to have nail prints. But God's love did not deny the nail prints in the hands of the son for eternity. Wow. Can you imagine? For eternity that will come. That will be there. While you and I, who have a body that will be marred with sin and all sorts of diseases, will be raised up and have a perfect body without any marks on there. You see? That is love. It gave all that it had. That's why I think in the Old Testament we have examples of that. Remember the widow that just gave that meal to Elijah? All that she had. Then when Christ came, the widow's mite, as we know it. The woman gave all that. Some people misunderstand the message. They say, oh, God only looks at what we give. The rich man gave, the Pharisees gave a lot. But that woman only gave a mite, so they think they can just give 10 cents in the church. Give $1, and that's it. They fail to understand the very message. That woman gave all that she had. You see? And Christ took notice of that. Because that's a replica of what God gave. God gave all that he had for you and I. His begotten son. And then when we get to Romans, boy, you're getting me going. He gave all that he had. It cost him something. That's why it's sacrificial. You see? We have a word in English called charity in our King James. Some people translate it love. I prefer charity. Because all you have to do is look in a dictionary to find out what charity means. Some people just don't want to do that. So they think it's an error. It's not an error. And I normally don't go into this thing. But charity is the highest form of love in the English language. You understand that? Anybody can tell you they love you. Anybody can say those things. But charity is another thing. Do you realize that charity is a giving love? It's not a love that is based upon words. That's why when you give, it's called a charitable contribution. Wow, powerful, huh? Yeah, because that love you are giving for the benefit of someone. All right? Now pay attention to this. That's why I said we got to look back on God, who is the giver, instead of maybe the law. I think, you know, the law has, you know, we give out 10%, we give this, we give that. And people can give out of obligation, but yet don't have charity. There's a big difference. You see, you understand? Without charity. There's another word in the English language that when somebody gives, and often you'll find that word is used with billionaires or even millionaires. And the word slipped my mind now. Philanthropy. We would call these people a philanthropist. They gave, right? But you know there's a difference between charity and a philanthropist? Both are giving. But there's a difference between the two. Philanthropy never takes a personal interest in the other. Wow. They can give millions of dollars to some type of organization, but they never take a personal interest. That's why it's called philanthropy. Charity, on the other hand, or agape, takes a personal interest in the other. You understand the difference? Yes, sir. And that's why it can give the way it give to meet a need. That's why it can give sacrificially. People can give out of the abundance, interestingly, but yet fail to have what? Charity. Remember that even Paul went back and said that, you know, you can have all the gifts that you have, and yet without charity, what does it mean? It values nothing. So you could see what gives the giving the value is not necessarily the gift that was given, but it was the charity that was behind it, or the agape. And you can understand why when God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. God is not a philanthropist, but he is agape. And he gave because he took a personal interest in the need of the world. That's why, like the songwriter said, that, you know, God, in spite of all the billions of people that have been in the world, God still loves you and I as if we were his only child. Because he takes that personal interest to even the point that things that don't mean much to us, like how many hairs that are on our head. Bible tells us God, he knows the exact number of hair that is on our head. In other words, when I come this morning, if one or two or ten left, he knows about it. It did not escape his attention. In spite of everyone that is in the world, he cared so much that when I got up, took a shower, and started combing, he knows exactly how many of them left my scalp. You understand that? I don't even have a personal interest in myself that way to count them. They come out. But it doesn't escape God's attention. You see? And God gave. You see, that giving also gives because of what it is, even when it knows the recipient might not even appreciate what was given. You understand that? In spite of God giving, the world still hates God. Thank God you and I, who are the recipients of that giving, we are here today. Amen. Instead of the bars. Instead of in town using drugs, instead of living all sorts of life that people do to destroy their own lives, you and I are here and we can enjoy the service. That's why I'm able to enjoy that service. I thank God for his love. That even before I was born, he had already sent his son to die for my sin. He did not wait for me to love him in order for him to love me. You see? And so the word of God, and so the word says in Romans 5, let's go there. It's an unconditional love. That love brings about reconciliation. It's a love that is proven. Romans 5:8. Another common passage of scripture. Look at what it says here. Paul writes, but God commendeth his love. In other words, he proved it. Towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see? We were at enmity with him, according to verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see, he did not wait for us to love him. I've known many. I remember a young man, back then he was in his 40s, couldn't stand his mother because he claimed his mom. He came to her and she just sent him away. The woman had died many years. I did not know him when he was young, but I met him as an adult, and he had that type of behavior, that kind of thing against his own mom, because, quote, she did not love him. And I said to the young man, but you are demonstrating the very same thing that you hate your mother for. You hate her. But you talking that she, you said you did this, you did that, and she still, because your idea of love is something you have to deserve. And therefore, you think that your parents must deserve your love based upon their own action towards you. And it is that idea that he has that he cannot understand the love of God is an unconditional love. He thinks he has to clean up his life. He cannot understand how God can love murderers on death row. You mean to say all that person has to do is believe and they go into God's presence? Yes! You see, he cannot understand that because all he knows is a conditional love, a love that you have to deserve in order to love. You see? That's why I said many times it's not the home that will not love. It's their own ideas of what that is. You see? It's wrong. And so I said to him, a lost man, I said, you are really being a hypocrite. I couldn't believe I tell a lost man that. Because you're criticizing your own mother for the very same attitude that you have. I said, if you did not have it, I can understand maybe you can criticize her. But you feel that she needs to accept you for you to love her. No difference between you and her. And she'd been dead now. It had been, I think, at that time, 16, 20 years. And you still have a bitter spirit against your mother who's been dead for all that time. You see? I said, what you need to know is the love of God. God didn't wait for you to love him, for him to love you. You see? That is what you don't understand. Love is unconditional. You see, even in relationships, those things come up. You know how many times I hear, boy, I cook, I do this, I do that, and he's still not giving me my value. You understand? I said, are you manipulating or are you doing that out of love? I said, manipulation, you do something in order to get something that you want. And maybe you think you have some value, so you're cooking for that fella, your husband. And when he don't give you what you feel you deserve, then you get bitter. I said, you need to understand that love will give without anything in return or expecting anything in return. If you love him and you cook out of loving him, it would not matter whether he appreciates it or not. You would still do it. You understand the difference? Wow, that's strong, right? But we're talking about real agape love. Because it's not based upon, that's why I tell you, if you know these things, you are able to counsel those that are in need of it. That's why when that lady told me she don't love her husband anymore, I knew something was wrong with that love that she claiming she had. You see, it wasn't agape. Because if it was agape love, it wouldn't matter. To her, she would want to reconcile. You would still cook in spite of him not wanting to eat. You would still do your duties, whether it's a man or a woman, because that's what the word of God says to do, right? And guess what? If you ain't expecting anything return when you don't get it, guess what? It don't bother you either. A lot of the thing that bothers us is what I would call these unfulfilled expectations. They are expecting certain things from their spouse because of what they do. And when that expectation is not fulfilled, suddenly bitterness can set in. And then you have a downward spiral, you see, from there. And so that love is a love that gives. It's a love that is proven in action. And so God did not wait for us to love him in order for him to love us. And so that love, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, let's look at that very quickly. One of the several things that we get once we get saved, one of them is the love. Let's look at verse 5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. It's very important that we understand that God's love is not something that is external. All right? It is within us. That's where God put it. Why? It's very important. Remember I said human behavior is based upon what is in the heart. The way a man thinketh, so is he. All right? The love is shed in our hearts. The world does not know or understand the love of God. So God put something in our hearts. Guess what? Because then once it's in there, that will determine how you and I behave one to another. No wonder he says that the world will know that you are my disciple because of the love that you have one for another, agape. Remember that? It's not based upon circumstances. Now let's look at that very quickly. Boy. When you and I got saved, we became a source of God's love to the world. You and I are a source of God's light to the world. I have heard many illustration given about the sun. They explain the sun as like it's God, and the moon like it's us, right? The sun shines, and we reflect the light that the sun shines onto the world. Although I don't agree with the illustration, I'll tell you why. In here this morning, we have these light bulbs. They are a what? A source of light. You turn it off, there is no more light. Okay? The sun is a source of light. That light is coming from within the sun. The stars are a source of light. Light comes from within them. But the moon and the planets are not a source of light. You understand the difference? Because there is no light that comes within them. Light has to be outside them, and they reflect what is outside them. Therefore, they are not a source of light. You understand the difference? I'm coming somewhere with that. All right? God's love is not outside us. God has shed that love in us. Therefore, we are not a reflection of the love of God. We are a source of the love of God because it is within us. You understand? You see, when you look at the brake lights on a car every day, in the night in particular, light that comes from the car behind is reflected, correct? We got reflectors on the highway. They are not a source of light. But they only reflect some of the light that has beamed upon them. But you know your tail light on the car functions as both. When you don't have your feet on the brakes, it reflects light that is external. But once it becomes of that light bulb that is in that reflector, you understand the difference? Remember, the light bulb is a source of light. But what makes that reflector to now turn into a source of light is what that is in it, the light bulb. Amen. You understand the difference? Because the light bulb is in it, once you press the button and the light bulb comes on, that tail light now becomes a source of light. You see? And when God put his love in us, he did not leave the world without any examples of his love. You see? He put that love. So you and I, who are not a source of love in and of ourselves, because of what that has been put in us, now makes us to become a source of that love. That is why, let's take Pastor Rick for example. Like with every man. That love that has been shed in his heart, right? He is now a source of God's love. Do you know what Paul says about the husband, how he ought to love his wife? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He is now, in and of himself, is not a source of God's love. But that love has been shed in him. Now he becomes a source of that love to reflect the love of God in him towards his wife. That the abstract of love that a child cannot understand or the world does not understand, now they have a source to see and understand the love of God. So when he demonstrates that love towards his wife, his children understand the love of God. The world will understand the love of God because he did not love based upon circumstances. You understand that? So that love never ends. In spite, she can burn his food. She can choose not to cook. She might not be in good health, but he still loves. Why? Because he looks at her on a personal and see her need and meets that need. You understand that? That is the love. That is why you and I in the church, when we love one another, the world only knows of conditional love. You see? They know of eros love, but the love of God is foreign. So when the church takes personal interest in one another and meet one another's need, That is a sore. No wonder in the New Testament you find that the church saw the church at, help me now. Paul gives the example. What's in my mind now? Macedonia. They heard, right, of the famine that had been taking place. Right? What did they do? They were able to give of themselves first, the apostles Paul said, and then they gave, and what they're giving turned out to much more than what the apostle had ever expected out of them. For what? To meet the need of the brethren. Wow. Can you imagine?
Yes, sir.
They met the need of the brethren in another city that was going through famine. And because of that giving, you know, it's interesting that in Romans, it tells us that we ought to give what? Of ourselves. It's interesting that God did not ask for our money first. Incredible, huh? Sacrificial. And he did not want just my hands or my feet or my head. He wanted what? The entire body. Give it as a living sacrifice. Remember, agape gives, and it gives sacrificially. So my first thing, when the love of God is of that giving myself as a living sacrifice. And so that love is demonstrated in the brethren. By the brethren, how will we know? Well, it is that we have to know each other. Do you know you and I cannot know each other's need if a need comes without really knowing each other? So many people just know somebody only superficially.
Yeah.
You understand that? Therefore, a lot of needs are not ever being met because all too often we might know one another just superficially. Sometimes in churches, people don't even know where the other brother or sister live in town. And they've been in church for 10, 15, 20 years. And they don't even know what part of town or the neighborhood they live. You see? So if something comes up, they don't even know. You see? And love often, sometimes, it does not wait for a person to ask. It sees the need because why? It takes that personal interest. That's what I'm saying. You and I can give, but yet give like a philanthropist if we're not careful. But we ought to give what? Sacrificially. And one of the ways we know that is by knowing each other. I've seen that in action many times. I remember a home that I'm in, that the wife was gone, I was there, and she told me to, I can cut the grass if I want. I had planned to do that, but I didn't do it because I knew the husband had told me that some family in the church was going to come to cut the grass. And so I wasn't going to take their blessing away. I'm not going to go cut the grass when I know they got a member coming to cut the grass. And you know, they didn't come to cut the grass because the gentleman asked them to come cut the grass. That's what they do, I think, professionally. But they knew his wife was gone. They knew he was up in age. They knew the grass, and they wanted the wife to come home seeing the lawn completely cut. You see the need? They saw a need. They decided they're going to sacrifice their time to meet a need. So when she told me about I can cut the grass if I want, I didn't want to tell her that members of the church are going to come over there and do that. I already heard about that. And it was raining anyway, so I couldn't cut any grass. So thank God the members came. I woke up in the morning. I saw three or four people out there cutting grass. The husband got up. He said, "What are these people?" I said, "I don't know. I mean, I guess he should know better than them. I just got up and see these people out there cutting grass." So he got up and went out there and realized who it was. They had already got into the lot and started cutting and doing all kinds of things. So when we went and picked her up at the airport, she came. We thought maybe she would notice. But the first thing she noticed, even at 11 o'clock in the night, was the grass was cut. And that was something that was meant a lot to her because it was tall before she left, that the grass would be cut. And she said, "Boy, you did a good job." I said, "It wasn't me. It was some people from the church came and do that." She said, "Who they are?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know members of your church. But all I know is there was a lady and two fellas, and the lady was trimming and doing other things." That lawn had not been trimmed, she said, in I forget how many years. And she come and find that all nice and clean. And I said, that's why when you spoke to me, I didn't tell you anything about the grass, because I already knew somebody was going to come and cut the grass. A couple days later, I had planned to cut another part of the lawn. And you know, I am not that tall. You all know that. And it's a riding lawnmower. I went on the lawnmower, and my feet wouldn't reach the pedals. I said, man, we got to adjust that seat. And I realized that the seat could not be adjusted unless you use some type of tool. And then she said, oh, man, you could have helped us cut the grass, and now nothing can be done. I would have known that if I had tried, you see? But the people were taller. They come, and they use that thing. She said, that thing is not even far enough back for me. And yet my feet can't even touch it. I can't do a thing about cutting grass, you see? But you see, it is the need of the others. And that need, sometimes it could be sacrificing your time. You see? It was just a sacrificing. You could have been watching football. And yet you saw a need. And you decided you're going to sacrifice your football time to go. Sometimes it's just sacrificing sometimes your time at work. I've done that before. And we all, there are many things that you and I can do to meet need of others. We're talking about the need, all right? And do you realize you'll realize who the fakes are? Because they got people that try to take advantage of people, and you'll realize it very quickly who they are. And so often, if we're not careful, we allow corporate giving or corporate activity to drown out that personal interest in the other. I've seen church members go and clean homes of another church member because the wife was in bed and could not do a thing. And they took the time and went out there and cleaned the home. You understand? Some of them, they would stay with the spouse of another member overnight, sacrifice their own time in order to take care of another member while the spouse was gone until he can or she can come back. You see, the need is what comes. And agape always demonstrates that love by giving. You know, that's why in Romans we find that love, you know, those who steal, they shouldn't be stealed, but instead go to work, that they might what? Meet the need of those who need. Love does not owe debts. Not, I don't want to say debt, but owe anything. It pays its debts, let's put it that way. That's what it does. You know, I know members borrow money from other members and refuse to pay the debt. And those same members that refuse to pay the debt comes in church and tells this same brother and sister that they don't pay their debt, how they love them. I know people like that. I told one of them, I said, look here, you got to understand this brother is nothing more than a tape recorder just repeating what has been taped. And so when he says he loves, he, you know, that's just empty words. Because without charity, it means nothing. You understand? Because if he loved you, he would be paying what he said that he was going to pay. You understand the difference? Let's go back to Romans. You see that? But this guy, he has so been ingrained in his head that the other brother or sister will know that he loves them if he don't tell them. I mean, that's the way he thinks, because that's what's ingrained in his head. Little does he know, the other brother and sister know he don't love them because he ain't paying his debt. You see? He ain't paying them what they owe, and they could take him to court, but they have chosen not to do that. You see? Yep. Let us show love. Can you imagine the world seeing that believers paying their debts like they said? Because of time, I could give you examples of that even bankers saw that. I know of a believer that had gone bankrupt, filed bankruptcy because of medical debts, and in spite of filing the bankruptcy, still went and paid every single debt. No debtor was left without it. The only reason why he filed bankruptcy, because he couldn't pay what they wanted. You see? But even when he filed bankruptcy, and that was a new believer, he went about paying his debts. that some of them were even canceled. You see? And when he needed a loan, the banker looked at that. And he said, in spite of the bankruptcy on your record, I can still give you that loan. You see? Because that love is an example of the world. Most people in the world would just, hey, I filed bankruptcy, they don't want to pay. But not him. The love of God pays his debt. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us.